a little bit more, and we get to a story about Philip, who you don't hear too much about in the Bible, but this whole chapter is all about him. So I guess it's his claim to fame, Acts 8. And so it is the continuing story of the church as the people go from knowing Jesus and following Jesus where they are to spreading the word of God throughout the whole world, all the way to us today and the work of the Gideons and the work of our lives. And so I invite you to listen for God's word for you and for us today.
At the risk of sounding a little facetious, right before the service, Monty asked if I had any questions, and I said no. And I said, do you have any answers? And he said no. So by that, let's direct us to the Bible. Thank God we have the Bible, as we have been shared by the Gideon representative. Thank you, Art. And this is on page 1064 in the Pew Bible, Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian, a eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I just be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. May God bless these words and the reading of them.
It's not a story we hear too often. We actually have a lot of Ethiopians in our city. It's a rare thing. But I remember when I was growing up, a good friend of ours, whom Christy is visiting this weekend, our friend Charles Dixon, who has cancer and is a pastor in New Jersey, she loved Ethiopian food. And growing up in suburban Sacramento, where there was, I think, one black family in my town and about three Hispanic families, and there was always about one Japanese family in each grade. And other than that, we were all Heinz 57, kind of normal state of the America, not knowing anything else. I was always surprised by Ethiopian food, because our friend Chara would take us to a place called the Blue Nile on Telegraph in Berkeley. And I thought it was so amazing. Has anybody ever had Ethiopian food? It's fabulous. Injera, where you eat it, and it seems so exotic. You don't use silverware, but you just use bread. It's even more exotic than chopsticks, which I thought was really crazy exotic in the sheltered area in which I grew up. And today is a story that's about exotic, the foreign and the familiar. What is really different than anything we can imagine, and what is right here, and how God is in the midst of all of it. Now, Ethiopians are not really foreign. I told you how they were really foreign for me where I grew up. There was only one Mexican restaurant where I grew up, and so it was really, I remember learning about chips. It was earth-shattering to learn about chips. I do not think my children today have any idea of what I grew up with. But Ethiopian is still kind of foreign and exotic in our nation, maybe not in our city. But if we think about the story based on what we think, we miss out on what's happening. Because in the Roman Empire, Ethiopian was a real place, as it is today. It was people that were very dark skins, which is what part of what it represented for the Romans. But the Romans believed that Ethiopia was on the edge of the world, if that makes sense. It was the most foreign, the most exotic place that you could imagine. It was a fringe place. So as foreign as you can imagine somebody, that's what Ethiopian represented in Roman times and also in the Bible. Because this is not the only time we talk about Ethiopia in the Bible. And yet at the same time, it was very much familiar, this Ethiopian. For he is a eunuch, which was commonplace. Now, you might be a little confused by that, or you might feel a little uncomfortable when you think about being a eunuch. And what that meant in the ancient times was that your testicles were crushed with a rock, or you were dismembered with a knife. A little bit less clinical than our vasectomies these days. And yet it was commonplace. We might think the Ethiopian is common and familiar, but it was actually the eunuch that was common and familiar in biblical times. And that was because eunuchs were people that were entrusted to work with the harem of the king, which was a very common thing. They were trusted because they were ill-equipped to continue doing whatever they might want to do with the harem. But they also were the people that would serve and work with the queen, for the same reason that they could be trusted, because they couldn't do anything. They could not have sex with the queen, and so they would be trusted to work with the queen. The other thing that we might not know about is that it was commonplace because in a royal family, you'd have lots of children, and only the oldest male would become the king. And so it was common for the second, third, fourth, fifth, however many sons there might have been, it was common for them to be castrated and made into eunuchs, so that their children could never usurp the power and threaten the king. And so this thing that is horrific and seems so foreign to us was actually quite commonplace in the ancient world. It was their solution to problems that we try to solve with elections and things like that. But it was common. And so this man is both familiar and foreign. Now, what's interesting about this text is that it tells us a lot of things. Now, you know that about eunuchs and Ethiopians. And it's pretty straightforward. He's reading the Bible. He's reading Isaiah 53. Philip just shows up. And Philip explains what the man is reading to the man. Now, the man's not just reading to himself. He's probably reading aloud, because that's what they did. And the man obviously has faith, because he says, "Why shouldn't I be baptized right over there? Let me get off the chariot. There's good water. Let's get to it. Can you do it, Philip? I don't want to wait anymore." He's not waiting for Philip to explain what baptism is. He's not waiting for Philip to tell him about what faith is. He just needs a little help to understand the scripture he's reading. And he knows what he wants. He wants to respond to what God is saying. He wants to be whole in God. But the text also has a lot of stuff it doesn't say. For did you know that in Judaism, if you were a eunuch, you were not considered a real person? You were not considered a whole person. In fact, you could not go to the temple. You could not worship God. You were excluded. You were not allowed to be a person of faith. Even if you were created in the image of God, as it says in Genesis, there were multiple other scriptures that said you were forbidden to set foot in the holy place where you met God. So here is a man who is longing to know God more, in a faith that says he is not a whole person and he is not welcome in the place where you can know God. And yet he comes anyway. He comes to Jerusalem seeking God. looking for God. He comes and he is encountered by Philip, who tells him what he is reading in Isaiah 53, that it is about the Messiah who Philip knows as Jesus. And this is done publicly for all of the people that are with them. And I have to wonder if maybe more than just the eunuch were baptized that day. For this is not a private conversation, but a public one in which Philip is responding to questions that are already there. What we're not told is what Philip thinks about foreigners or eunuchs, because foreigners and eunuchs had the same status. They were not to be welcomed. They were not to be included. They were less than human. Even though the Israelites believed everyone was made in God's image, certain people were less, were unworthy, were not welcome. It says that also in Isaiah, but then later in Isaiah is this reading, 53, that Philip interprets, but then there is another reading. If you can go to the next one. Number 58, chapter 58, in which Isaiah says that the eunuchs and the foreigners are also invited and welcomed, that all are welcomed to know God, to put their trust in God, and to be loved by God. We don't know which one Philip stuck with. We don't know how Philip responded. First of all, I would have been freaked out if I just suddenly appeared on a road next to a chariot in a pool of water. But Philip is kind of moved around in this chapter by the Spirit of God to speak for God to people who need someone to hear about God. What we're also told without being told is that Philip doesn't try to convert or convict the eunuch. He simply answers his question. When the eunuch says, "I don't know what this is about," Philip steps in and says, "I can tell you. I can tell you what I know it's about." It is not something that's scary or terrifying. It's just simply responding to a question that is with the life answer that Philip already has. And then the story ends. What we're not told is that the church in Ethiopia, which is very strong and has existed for 2,000 years, claims to have started this day in this man, who then returned to his country and shared his faith. That's not included in the story. What's also not included is what happens to Philip and how he's changed by the story. It's also not included in the text that this man who has no family because he has no more testicles and cannot have children, he has no progeny, he has actually become part of a larger family. And the Ethiopian church claims him as their father. One who cannot have children has thousands, if not millions, of children by faith. And so the story is filled with familiar and foreign things, things that are said and things that are not said. Now, that's a nice academic approach to the Bible, an analysis of the text, but it's also what life is like, isn't it? Our days are filled with foreign things and familiar things, things that are said and things that are not said. And in the midst of all of that, we're trying to see where God is, what God is doing, how God is speaking to us, how God, if God is even answering the questions that we have. Now, it's easy to read the scripture and say, well, what it's telling us is we need to welcome the foreigner. We need to welcome the eunuch. We need to welcome everybody who is different to make space for them. And I think it would be saying to do that without expecting them to make a choice, to just do it, trusting that God will provide. And I think that would be an accurate reading of what this text means for us. But I think it also says something else. It talks about the familiar. Now, it's oftentimes easier, I'll bet not always, but easier to welcome someone who's foreign or different. Sometimes it's really hard to welcome or to tolerate someone who is too familiar. You know, maybe the person who talks too much, who never listens. Or, you know, the person who's always asking for help but never offering to give it to anyone. Or the person who's always lamenting how hard their life is when it doesn't seem to be that hard. Or maybe that person who always makes everything about them. those people are pretty hard to love, aren't they? Sometimes it's easier to love someone you don't know, someone who's so foreign and different, because they're not so close. You don't have to let them in. What the story talks about without talking about is about the church, about what it means to be people of Jesus on the way, that we are called to love and welcome the foreign and the familiar, those who we don't know at all, who are exotic and different, as well as those who are so familiar that they are irritatingly well known. It's up to you to decide which one is harder to love and which one isn't. But the purpose of coming to church and being part of a church is to hear the word of God, but I think even more so is to hear the word of God when we are forced to love each other and be with each other, to do more than tolerate each other, the foreign and the familiar, those who always make promises that but never come through, or those who kind of smell bad, or those who always sing off key, or those who always make everything about them. There is a challenge in loving those and learning to love those people. Sometimes those are other people, sometimes it's ourself. And yet that is the invitation we have in faith. It's why faith is about a community, not just being by yourself and hearing the word of God and living it. It's about being in the school of hard love, living in community, rubbing up against each other, learning to love each other, learning to love ourselves by letting other people love us, by seeing how God's love changes everything. So I'm struck today as we worship in lots of different ways, hearing about the Gideons, hearing the scripture that's so old and so weird, and yet maybe not that weird after all. And as we come to the table and celebrate communion, as we come to the table and eat things that are familiar, bread and wine, which we use juice, everyday things that the people then ate, but it's also so foreign, representing something we cannot put into words, a love that is beyond us and within us. So as we come to the table this morning, I want to invite you to be mindful, to reflect on your own lives. Maybe think about who are the Phillips in your life who've shared the word with you? Who are the eunuchs in your life to whom you are invited to share the word? Who are the foreign people that you don't want to welcome, that you struggle to welcome? Who are the familiar people that you struggle to stand? And how is God calling all of us to live like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to be Jesus in our world today? Amen. I want to invite you to stand as you are able as we sing in response to the gospel. We're singing a song called All Are Welcome, which might be a little new, but I am very faithful and sure that Pete will guide us through. Let us stand as we are able.